Goodbyes are kind of like puzzles. Goodbyes are kind of like puzzles. You wonder, and that one looks really complicated to me. How? Where's this gonna fit? How is this gonna work? I've never really liked goodbyes. Goodbyes are heavy. Goodbyes are hard and uncomfortable. I remember when I was 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 years old, my siblings and I would go up to my grandparents' house by Caseville in Port Austin. You know where that is? Beautiful little tip of the thumb. And they had a little Hallmark store there in Caseville and a house tucked away in the woods just a couple blocks from the lake. And we'd go up there for a week or two, and we'd work in the store, sort Hallmark cards, learn how to run the cash register, eat cookies at 10 o'clock in the morning with Grandpa, cut the grass, get to ride the lawn tractor, run down to the beach and build sandcastles and eat Cheetos, because my mom would never let me eat Cheetos at home, but Grandma would. And then she'd take me to the grocery store and she'd say, "You can pick any sugar cereal you want." Like, at home I get Grape Nuts. I'd get Cocoa Puffs or something. Lucky Charms. And we'd have so much fun, but we were so busy that the time would fly by too fast. You know the feeling. And then that week or two of being at Grandma and Grandpa's house would be gone, and Mom and Dad would arrive down a little drive there in the gravel road to pick us up, and we would weep and cry and weep and cry and scream sometimes out the window, "No, we don't want to leave. We love Grandma and Grandpa." And our mom and dad would turn to us and they'd say, "It's okay. You're going to see them again. We'll see them again. It's going to be okay, kids." I never liked goodbyes because they're heavy and they're hard and they're kind of like puzzles. You wonder how it's going to fit in with the plan. And you and I have faced a lot of goodbyes over the past 5.5 years. I think of all the funerals we've held right here. We think of those we've sent off to the mission field, or we think of those who we have sent off to other churches or sent off to another part of the country. Some of you have been here for 30, 40, 50 years. So many goodbyes, right? And it's hard every time, and it's heavy to say goodbye. And now after this time here, God is calling my family and I to say goodbye, to enter this new mission field of being a pastor chaplain in the Air Force. And it's filled with emotions of being scared and excited and sad and all the rest. Goodbyes are hard. And we believe God's word is our perfect guide for our life and faith and practice, right? Our core values say that, our core DNA. It's God's word that guides us, this perfect, infallible truth. So what does God's word have to say about goodbyes? God's grace for goodbyes, for gospel goodbyes. I say gospel goodbyes because gospel means the good news of Jesus, that he died for our sins in our place, the perfect Lamb of God, sinless for the sinners, so that through his death and glorious resurrection that he promised on the third day, we could have our sins erased and be brought back into relationship with God and be forgiven and have communion with all the saints in glory, and that we believe the resurrection of Christ is also the proof that our broken, failable, dying bodies will one day be resurrected to glory, and so that there is a hope in the gospel. Gospel goodbyes. So what is God's word of grace for gospel goodbyes? That's the question that I want to think about this morning. Are you with me? In Acts chapter 20, Acts chapter 20, verse 17 and following, we find the Apostle Paul, that ever-moving church-planting apostle, scripture-writing, proclaiming, debating Apostle Paul in a goodbye scenario. Throughout the Bible, though, from Old Testament through the New Testament, there are all kinds of goodbyes. Think of Abraham waving goodbye to Ur of the Chaldees, to the land and the family that were his own and going where he did not know. He would say in Genesis 12, I'm going but not knowing. And we find the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 20 reciting those same words, going and not knowing. And he gives these truths of goodbye, gospel goodbyes. You see, the Apostle Paul at this point, he had an astounding ministry in a city called Ephesus. People coming to Christ left and right, people exiting sorcery and witchcraft, paganism, idolatry and immorality, being converted, meaning turn around to Jesus. And then he leaves and he goes on his way to Macedonia, and then he's on his way to another place and he stops over in Miletus. And while in Miletus, he's about 30 miles away from Ephesus, and so he calls for the elders of Ephesus to meet him near the shoreline where he's stopping over in Miletus, and they have a gospel goodbye moment. And in this text, we're going to discover five key truths for God's grace and gospel goodbyes. God's grace for gospel goodbyes that I need to hear, because I'm kind of breathing heavy this morning. And maybe they'll help you, bless you, encourage you too. So turn with me to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20 for gospel goodbyes. Acts chapter 20. We'll pick up the story in verse 17. Puzzle pieces of grace. It says this in verse 17. From Miletus he sent, that means he called, sent to Ephesus and called to him the elders of the church. And when they had come to him, he said to them, you yourselves know from the first day that I set foot in Asia how I was with you the whole time, serving the Lord with all humility and with tears and with trials which came upon me through the plots of the Jews. There was a total reliance and a total trust on God in the midst of all kinds of opposition and tears and tribulation and difficulty. I was with you that whole time. I didn't run off, Paul says. And he said in verse 20, how I did not shrink away. I didn't pull back. I didn't shush up from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching you publicly from house to house. This is what the Apostle Paul had been busy doing. He had been proclaiming and he had been teaching, and he had been with them in trial. And he continues, solemnly testifying to both Jews and Greeks of repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. This is what he's been busy doing. There's two key phrases in this passage we're looking at today to give you a little teaser. Solemnly testifying and the word grace. Those solemnly testifying and grace repeated twice. So he says this, excuse me, solemnly testifying three times and grace twice. He's testifying of Jesus, and now in verse 22, and now behold, bound by the Spirit, I am on my way to Jerusalem. Your translation might say, I'm going to Jerusalem, not knowing. You see that? Going and not knowing. What will happen to me there? Except that the Holy Spirit solemnly testifies, that is, proclaiming clearly to me in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions await me. So the one thing that I'm sure of, Paul's saying, is more trial and tears and bonds, that is, be chained up in a prison, afflictions, persecution, hostility, and resistance to the gospel. But first, Paul begins this gospel goodbye with God's grace, number one. God's grace. Because that's what it's all about. God's grace with us in the past provides courage for us for the future, even when we don't know where we're going. Have you found yourself in that place before? You're going somewhere and you don't know fully what's ahead? In fact, we always don't know fully what's ahead. Only God does, but God's grace, because he's called us by his grace, God's grace in with us, not just to us, but he's with us in the past, provides courage, strength of faith for us in the future. Sometimes we're out on the tip of the iceberg or the edge of the cliff, and we're wondering if we're going to go. Paul's right here in Miletus saying, I'm going, not knowing, but I'm going because the Holy Spirit, God, has guided me. I believe God is directing me in this way, but he retraces the past too. It's all about grace. Look at these other passages in the book of Acts where Paul is repeating this theme of his ministry, urging them to continue in the grace of God, Acts 13, verse 43. And then in Acts 14, with reliance upon the Lord, testifying to the word of his grace, that is God's favor and kindness on you, that you don't earn, that you don't achieve, that you receive freely. It's because of God's heart of grace, his kindness, that then you are pardoned by his mercy. That's the pardon of all your transgressions. And then in Acts 14, verse 26, they had been commended to the grace of God for the work that they had accomplished. There is no other way in which it will be accomplished. So we're entrusting you. We're recommending, we're urging you to follow in the grace and rely on the grace. And then in Acts 15, we believe that we are saved through the, shout it out. There we go. The grace of our Lord Jesus. Acts 15, verse 40, being committed by the brethren to the grace of the Lord. That is the signpost, the guide, the compass, the map for following Jesus Christ. It's his grace that we come into right relationship with God by his grace, not our own effort. Are you with me? God's grace, as we retrace the past, gives us courage for the future when we don't know where we're going. What lies ahead? What's there? And I thought about the last 5.5 years here at Mayfair, and I just found a few pictures of what God's grace has shown us. Just some pictures of you over the past 5 years. We just looked at these pictures really quick. Beautiful building God has given us, but look at that gathering there. And this was a parade we did during the Summer Fest to advertise for VBS. Some of you recognize faces there. And there's another picture, VBS there, it happening, the excitement, God's grace here. Dozens of kids coming to faith in Jesus Christ. That happens by how? By God's grace. I love the Candlelight Communion service. Do you? Every year, it's like my favorite service. Celebrate communion. And this is when we did that crazy thing called the Easter egg drop. Remember that? And then we had our missionaries come, God's Helping Hands, and hundreds of people were in the gym hearing the gospel. And then God provided the Thrive Center, and then there's Flushing Christian Outreach Center entering the Thrive Center, and then remember the Life Challenge, Teen Challenge, guys? And you recall this one, though, and then everything went, stop, and Flushing churches extend outreach through live streaming. And we suddenly became Mayfair at home. But then God provided other opportunities by his grace. We did drive-by church and then church drive-by. How many of you are part of that? This parade of cars, you went driving by houses. Was that fun? Beautiful memories. And then God provided this opportunity by his grace to give away food to thousands of people over the shutdown, over the shelter-in-place order. And you serve the Lord. Brought us such great joy. Here's the line of cars winding through there. Staff Sergeant Angel Garcia was running that before he ever became a pastor here. With his wife, Edeline. I got another picture, right? She was always there by his side, right? Let's just give them a thank you for that. You guys are amazing. I see God's grace in you. God's grace in you. It gave us an opportunity as a church to serve, even when the governor was saying, you can't leave your house, right? I mean, that was we were all scared. We didn't know what was ahead. God's grace in the past provides courage for the future, even when we don't know where we're going. And then the live nativity, which Pastor Dale launched that, and the camels. And then this is just from this past live nativity out there in the heart of downtown Flushing. God provided that. God provided that. Some people might say, oh yeah, there's Everlyn enjoying the cookies during coffee fellowship. She's grown an awful lot since then. 75 years as Mayfair Bible Church, that's a picture of that Sunday. Such joy in God's grace. And then I was surprised to see our Texas youth pastor sledding down the hill. I had to throw that in, Steve. Let's thank God for Steve and Missy coming here. That was an answer to my prayers. I said, Lord, I can't go not knowing that Pastor Steve and Missy are coming. And so I threw out some wool out on the grass. I know that was Gideon's weak faith. And it was my weak faith. And I'm like, Lord, if Pastor Angel and Edeline don't come here as on staff, then I can't go. And then they came. And then, Lord, I can't go do this new mission field if Steve and Missy don't come. And they came. God answers prayers. God is full of grace. All right, next picture. Yeah, even though that was fun to look at. And just the worship. Every Sunday morning is filled with joy. God's grace in you. Church of the Park. We've done that for, what, 5 or 6 summers in a row, and every year we have, somebody knows the answer I'm looking for, perfect weather. Yes, it's incredible. In Michigan, in the middle of June. Every Sunday, God's graced us with beautiful weather. And so look at how God is, just in 5.5 short years, God's grace there. God hasn't forgotten Mayfair Bible Church. The value of a church is not in the sum of its pastor or pastors. It's in God's people together, the new covenant community of the Holy Spirit following the Word and the Spirit, and God is there. And God is here, and He's not going to leave. He is with us. God's grace with us in the past provides courage for the future. And Paul's bringing them through that. Look, I've been with you every step of the way, testifying solemnly of the grace of God, and the Holy Spirit now is solemnly testifying, I'm going, not knowing. I'm going, not knowing. I was talking with my mentor through the process of becoming a chaplain in the Air Force, Major Chaplain Alan Findlay, wonderful Bible-believing, gospel-preaching chaplain, and he spoke with our board a couple months ago. Was that good, guys, to hear from him? It was good. And he said to them and to me, he said, I cannot begin to describe to you the level of spiritual darkness here, but this is the place to bring the light of Christ. So I'm nervous and excited. Stephanie and I had a Zoom meeting with my boss at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, Colonel, Chaplain, Bowen, and sweet couple. And I said, we have a lot of not knowing. We don't know where we're going to live. We don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know how officer training school is going to go. And I don't know my role yet there on your team, sir. And he said, well, let's talk about that. Do you want to know? I found out I have a little bit of knowing. He said, for the last 5 years, our Protestant evangelical chapel service has been dwindling. So we believe that you're the guy to revitalize it. So I'm going to be pastoring this chapel service and preaching 3 out of 4 Sundays a month. And he said, are you excited? I'm excited! And then he said, and you got another role. We think, and this could change, but we think you're the guy to be embedded as the chaplain for the security forces unit, which means I want to be the police chaplain for the base, which is also really exciting. And so I'll just throw that out there. You may say, I don't care, but I care. It's an answer to prayer, actually. And I thought, I didn't know. I still don't know a lot of things of what lies ahead, but I was having a private crying session in my office the morning after I found that news out. The next truth is, God's grace in Christ is the meaning of life. You want to discover life? You want to know the meaning of life? You want a purpose? Christ. In his letter to the Philippians, he said, for me to live is Christ. To die is gain. And in the Greek syntax, it's even more abrupt than that. It's for me to live, Christ. To die, gain, because it's all about Jesus. It's not about Paul. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about pointing everybody to Jesus. And this church belongs to Jesus, and our lives and our hearts belong to Jesus. And so Paul says in verse 24, this is the second truth, but I do not consider my life of any account as dear to myself. You want to look at that translated literally. It means it's not worth a single word. That's what he's saying. Don't say a single word about me. I don't consider my life worth a single word. Here's what my life is. It's not dear to myself, so that I may finish my course and the ministry which I've received from the Lord Jesus. And what is that? To testify solemnly of the gospel, of the grace of God. That's what it's all about, brothers and sisters. I don't know what's ahead. I don't know the course exactly. I'm just taking one step forward to follow this. This is what I'm going to do. Proclaim the gospel of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, by which all sinners can be saved. Christ is life. And for you, maybe you're here for the first time, you're here with some family, or maybe you've been searching and seeking for decades to know how you can have a purpose, a peace in life. The answer is in Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life, life forever and ever and ever in right relationship with God. Verse 17, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. This is why Jesus came. This is the gospel we preach in. This is what I invite you to believe this morning. Today could be the day of salvation for you. You turn from your own way, your own method of life, and your life agenda, and your life mission, and you repent, you turn to Jesus and say, I'm putting my total trust in the grace of Christ. And from that point forward, through trust in Jesus, you are saved, your sins are forgiven, and you have life forever with God that begins right then and continues for all eternity. And after this life is over, it's not done. That's not the end of the story, because we have life eternal with God in heaven. And Christ is going to return and establish his glorious kingdom on earth. And we will see him face to face. And guess what? We will be with each other again. And we will worship him around his throne forever and ever and ever and ever. That's the hope of the gospel. And I invite you to believe that if you don't this morning, because God's grace in Christ is the meaning of life. Nothing else, no one else, not how many things you can gather up in your portfolio or how many toys you can have in your garage, how much money you can have in investments, or how many second or third or fourth houses or boats or cars or planes. Doesn't matter. That's not the meaning of life. Christ and him crucified and risen. You want to know life? Know Christ. Look at the next passage here in Acts chapter 20. He continues this way, verse 25. And now, behold, I know that all of you among whom I went about preaching the kingdom will no longer see my face. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men. He's saying that if I should be lost, that he's not responsible, right? It's Jesus. He's proclaimed the gospel. He's preached the gospel of the kingdom, and they are in God's hands. That's a quick, helpful interpretation, hopefully, for you. For I did not shrink. Here's the reason why he's entrusted them to Christ, right? For I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole purpose of God. I've taught through the whole counsel of God to you. Be on guard for yourselves, he writes, for all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. Back to the first part of verse 23, 24, 25, he's saying, I have preached and I have taught and I've gone through all of the Holy Scriptures. Of course, the New Testament was not yet completed, but he's explaining and applying Jesus to them through the lens of the Old Testament. He's explaining what he's received from the other apostles, what he's heard from John, what he's heard from Peter. He's proclaiming the gospel, and he's doing this. And we could put the other pieces together in the book of Acts, 4 to 5, maybe 6 hours a day. And this was common in Ephesus. I have a picture of the theater in Ephesus. And he would have stood in a place and he would have proclaimed to hundreds of people, teaching for 4, 5, 6 hours every day for a period of 3 years. And you could try to do the math, but it's thousands of hours of teaching and explaining and preaching that Paul had given them over the course of his ministry. And he's saying, I've entrusted you with the message now. God owns the church. This church, too, Mayfair, belongs to Jesus. It doesn't belong to any pastor or elder or deacon. And in fact, we could say here, according to the Apostle Paul, that the Holy Spirit has appointed the elders, that we as a church vote to affirm the office of elder, vote to select deacons. But that is the call of the Holy Spirit as we seek the Lord's face, as we pray through it. You are walking, I pray, in step with the Holy Spirit when elders, overseers, when deacons are appointed to guide, serve, and lead Mayfair. Because it's the Holy Spirit who leads the church. The church belongs to Jesus. The church belongs to Jesus and is guided by the Holy Spirit. And so he continues this way, though, this warning, be on guard. I've given you the whole counsel of God for all the flock. And he continues in verse 29, I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves, men will arise, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after them. There are always, nearly in every church, or the danger of occurring in every church, people want to build a kingdom for themselves, who have their own agenda in mind rather than Jesus' agenda. And the Apostle Paul is saying to these elders over the church in Ephesus, there on the shoreline by Miletus, you have to guard the people with the counsel of God's word. So the third truth for gospel goodbyes, after God's grace in Christ is the meaning of life, is God's grace calls us, particularly here, the overseers, that is the elders and pastors of Mayfair. God calls us to guard against those who would distort and destroy this church. And there's always a danger of that happening, to veer off, in this context, towards legalism, towards performance-based, exterior-focused religion that is dead and dying and doesn't sanctify anybody. The other side is moving over to licentiousness, license to say anything goes, it doesn't matter how you live, as we see Exhibit A if you study the church in Corinth. But the grace of God and the truth of Jesus is our guide. And so, elders, I am calling you, Mayfair Bible Church elders, guard the flock of God among which you are overseers. Your sheep, too. Watch over the flock against those who distort and destroy, want to rip things apart, which is so common in our day. Verse 31, moving to the fourth truth here. Therefore, be on the alert, remembering that night and day for a period of 3 years, I did not cease to admonish each one with tears. And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. That's the repeat there of the word grace. The word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. The fourth truth is this: God's grace in truth gives us everything we need to thrive. You want to flourish in your marriage, in your parenting. You want to flourish in the way of Jesus Christ, to live out on his mission. You want to flourish and thrive, that is to grow as a church. God's grace in truth, he has given you in his grace everything in himself. God gives himself to you to thrive. And I see a bright, beautiful future ahead for Mayfair, for you as a church family, which is why we're still going to be members. You haven't gotten rid of us totally. And they'll be somewhere else. We're still members here because we love this family and we believe that this family is thriving in Jesus and will continue to thrive in Jesus. As you guard the flock, remember that Christ is the meaning of life, and that God's grace in the past gives you courage for the future, even when you don't know what it's going to look like. And that God's grace in truth gives you everything you need to thrive. We say our mission statement, you know, belong to Jesus, that's where it all begins. Thrive in Jesus and go with Jesus. And you might change that up or wordsmith that in the future. That's fine. I will not get offended at all. Because guess what? It's not about me. It's about Jesus. Thrive in him. He's given the church in Ephesus everything they need to thrive, to grow, that is to be sanctified, become more and more into the likeness of Jesus, that our heart moves with God's heart together, that we look upon people who are ostracized, outcast, failing, faltering, tripping up, crashing and burning, and we look at them with the eyes of Jesus. People with their hurts, habits, and hang-ups. People with wounds and scars, those are the kind of people Jesus loves. He loves all of us, no matter what we've gone through. He's with us. Isn't that good news? That's good news. It's good news for all of us. God's grace calls us to guard against those who distort or destroy. This church belongs to Jesus. And then look at verse 33, 34. I have coveted no one's silver or gold or clothes, Paul writes. You yourselves know that these hands ministered to my own needs and to the men who were with me. Paul had a bivocational ministry of doing tent making. In everything I showed you that by working hard in this manner, you must help the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Don't forget that. Because it's so true about you. I have said to probably hundreds of people, haven't I, Stephanie? Mayfair is the most giving, generous church I've ever been a part of in my almost 40 years of life from the very beginning. And I've been in church since before I was born. You are the most generous, self-sacrificial giving church I have ever witnessed, and it's beautiful. Because you realize that life is not about the getting, but about giving, and that you work in order to get, in order to give, right? Not just to hold on to. And that Jesus said, it is far more blessed to give than to receive. When you resource missionaries, when you go overseas, when you go to Carriage Town to serve, when we give to Flushing Christian Outreach Center, when you give of your time to VBS and are worn out, it's more blessed to give than to receive. When you serve in Sunday school, Thrive Kids, when you teach a class, when you just quietly help some church family, bring them a meal or fix something, or I bet, I would suppose so many of you have experienced that personally. If you haven't, just wait a few days, you might. I think you will. My family and I have experienced that so many times. You're giving. And Paul says, remember these words, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And then he says this. When he said these things, Luke is recording this, of course, according to Paul, he knelt down and prayed with them all. And they began to weep aloud and embraced Paul and repeatedly kissed him, grieving especially over the word which he had spoken, that they would not see his face again. And they were accompanying him to the ship, all the way down to the shoreline there, with tears in their eyes and waving goodbye to never see him again. The fifth guideline for gospel goodbyes is that God's grace mission often requires goodbyes. But it's okay and good and right to cry, to lament the losses, to think through the past and God's faithfulness that will guide us into the future, that the meaning of life is Christ, that God's called us and given us the truth to guard against those who would distort and destroy, calls us to give, to serve, to love, to teach, and he's with us every step along the way to thrive, and that when we say goodbye, Christians never really say goodbye, do they? Because we have the gospel in our goodbye. There's a pastor, he said this, there's a quote on your screen, you'll see this, of gospel goodbyes, Pastor Jared Musgrave. He said, godly people hold one another with an open hand. Godly people who are about the gospel say goodbye often, confident in our union together as the family of God, and confident that we will celebrate again. We will see one another again at the marriage supper of the Lamb. We will be with God together for all time. For all time. Because this is not the end of the story. Goodbyes are kind of like puzzles. A lot of you spend a lot of time putting puzzles together during the shelter-in-place order, and you sent me a bunch of pictures, puzzles. That picture, you can see it again, this puzzle. Somebody sent me that one. I don't know how it got from circular to straight. Yeah, that's... Whoever put that one together, talk to me afterwards, and it's all white. I mean, wow. Okay. We don't know exactly where or how this is going to fit, but guess who's the sovereign puzzle maker? Jesus Christ, who owns this church, purchased it with his own blood, and he's guarding and guiding and loving you. And we'll be together for all time. For all time. Gospel goodbyes. Would you close your eyes and bow your heads with me? The Apostle Paul wrote a prayer to the church in Ephesus. He recorded it in his letter to them. in Ephesians chapter 3, even if you would you bow to your knees with me if you're physically able to go to our knees one last time together at this juncture? The Apostle Paul wrote what the heart of his prayer was for them, and I just simply echo these words of the Apostle Paul as your pastor who loves you and who believes the best about you. And I believe Jesus has got this all in his hands. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth. Oh, may, Lord, this increase and be their experience, Father. And to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you, Mayfair, may be filled up to all the fullness of God. And this is our prayer to you, our Father, now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we can ask or think, according to the power that works within us. To him be the glory in this church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. And all the redeemed of Jesus say with me, amen.